hi everyone. My name is Lavinia. I work at the University of Trento. I'm a postdoc there. And as you, Ellen, already anticipated, this talk will be mainly focused on the comparison of the available data sources for the assessment of the solar resource for a small alpine region. So this is the study area for this work. It is a small region with a surface of 6,200 kilometers squared. It is located in northern Italy, in the middle of the Alps, and it has a very complex orography, which is characterized by the presence of many valleys, which are very deep, almost up to 2 kilometers deep, and not so wide. They have characteristic width in the order of 4 to also to down to 1 kilometers. So such a complex orography, of course, implicates a very strong spatial and temporal variability of incoming solar radiation at the surface, not only for purely topographical reasons associated with orographic shadowing or for, with the reduction of the sky view factor, but also for factors mainly associated with the typical meteorological phenomena developing there, like, for example, enhanced summer convection in the afternoon over the reliefs because of the convergence by thermally driven winds. So we chose to compare three different available gridded datasets, the two versions of PVGs, the older one and the newer one, CMSAF, and another database, which is a satellite database developed by Meteo Suisse, which is called Heliomont. So the three databases have different reference time periods, but they have almost similar spatial resolutions. The first one, the oldest one, is based on ground observations, while the other two are based on satellite data only. In particular, Heliomont is retrieved by means of an algorithm which is specifically improved for treating bright surfaces. That is, it better distinguishes between clouds and snow, so it is specifically featured for mountainous regions. So keeping in mind that the time reference for these three databases is different, still this does not explain at all the very different spatial distribution that we observed for the annual mean global irradiation over our region. In some sense, they seem to, for example, the two versions of PVGs, they say exactly the opposite thing. Like the oldest one say that the lowest values are in the valleys, while the newest one say the opposite. And if we look at the difference, at the deviation of each database from the average of the three databases in terms of percentage, this is even clearer. So these three databases show very large deviations, which are in the order of up to minus or plus 20% of the annual incoming radiation. And this is a very important discrepancy between these databases. So if we look at the coefficient of variation, which is the ratio between the standard deviation and the average of the databases in terms of percentage, again, we see that the most problematic areas are the highest reliefs, which are situated in the western extremity of the region, but also the flat areas, like the floors of the major valleys and the plain. And well, this last thing is mainly due to the fact that we are including the old version of PVGs in this comparison, because we know from preview professionals that it strongly underestimates the radiation in this area. So if we only compare PVGs, CMSAF, and Heliomont, that is the two satellite databases, we still observe strong differences in the annual global irradiation, which are strongly negative over the highest reliefs in the region at the two extremities, western and eastern extremity of the region, but also positive over the main flat areas, that is the floors of the valleys. So apart from these gridded data sets, which were already available, we also analyzed ground observations. This is the map of the radiometric stations which are installed in this region. We had 104 stations active at the end of 2012, so this radiometric network is very dense, with an average distance to the nearest station of about 4 kilometers. But as we saw, this is just a little bit misleading because the spatial distribution is not homogeneous at all, and the stations are strongly clustered at the floor of the main valleys, that is in the mostly populated valleys areas. And well, the distribution with altitude of the station confirmed the fact that the most elevated areas, they do not have many stations. So we had a lot of stations, but when we checked the length and the coverage of the time series, and when we performed strict quality controls of the data and homogeneity control, and also when we took into account the availability of the Heliumont satellite data for comparison over the 2004-2012 period, so we finally ended up selecting only 25 stations for this analysis, which are indicated by the red plus marks in this map. So if we look at the distribution of station with altitude, we see that we do not have any stations above 1,800 meters, which is not good, of course. And that these stations are again located at the floor of the main valleys, except a few ones. So for this selected stations, we calculated the monthly mean daily global irradiations, and we compare these climatologies against the ones given by the Heliumont datasets. And in terms of mean bias error and mean absolute error on annual basis, we see that the two databases are almost unbiased, and that there is a very small mean absolute error. But if we look at the monthly errors, values of the errors, we see that there is a strong variability with biases in the order of -5 to 8%, and that this strong variability is very dependent on the month of the season. Of course, we have, which was expected, smaller errors for the summer months. So based on this selected observation, we tried to develop a high-resolution solar atlas for the region based on this observation, following works which are already carried out in the literature for, let's say, complex areas, maybe not as complex as our area. So very briefly, the procedure consists in using a clear sky radiation model based on a digital terrain model to estimate the maximum global irradiation. Then we calculate the clear sky index at all station sites as the ratio between the observations and the model values in clear sky conditions. And then we interpolate these clear sky indexes over all the domain in order to map the real sky irradiation. So we finally ended up with 12 monthly mean daily radiation maps plus an annual map at the nominal resolution of 200 meters. This project, which was part of a broader project, the Trentino Climate Atlas, was funded by the Autonomous Province of Trento. So as GIS-based clear sky radiation model, we used R.Sun, which is part of a module of GRASS-GIS. And it requires, of course, a digital terrain elevation model, and then monthly mean albedo maps, which we developed at 1.2 kilometer resolution from work simulation that we carried out for our domain. And it also requires monthly mean linked turbidity factor maps. We developed these maps from ground observation, following a procedure which was proposed by Paul et al. In 2009, because when we checked the estimate of the link turbidity factor that we got from our observations with the against the values that are given by a climatology, a very popular climatology, which is the one developed by Raymond et al. 2003, and is provided by the SODA service, we saw that there was a quite systematic underestimate from the climatology by Raymond et al. But the most problematic thing was the vertical gradient, which was strongly underestimated in that database. So we found vertical gradients which are like four times the gradient which is indicated in that database. Then we interpolated the clear sky index we calculated thanks to a residual gridding technique that we selected by performing a cross-validation analysis against other different techniques. And we adopted a linear trend with terrain 8. The cross-validation analysis indicated an almost unbiased interpolation with a typical error of around 5%. And, of course, higher accuracy again in the summer months due to the fact that the observation, the clear sky index is more correlated with terrain 8 in summer. So here are some results, some clear sky index map for 4 months, just to demonstrate the fact that the clear sky index map are very well correlated with elevation for the summer months, for the warm months, while they depend more on the climatology of the single station in the other months. These are examples of the final maps, again for 4 months, and we can appreciate the fact that in these maps, for the warm months, for the summer months, the distribution of global irradiation that we got from this procedure depends essentially on the terrain 8, while in the winter months, it is mostly dominated by the orographic features associated with orographic shadowing. So we have very strong contrast between north-facing areas and slopes and south-facing slopes. So this is the final map, the final annual map obtained through the aggregation of the monthly maps. And we compare this with the corresponding Heliomont data. And we found this difference map in terms of relative difference, again, with a strong negative bias and with a mean absolute error of 8%. And, well, as you see, the error is very small over the flat areas, that is the valleys, the floor of the valleys. But we have this strong underestimation mostly because there are many areas which are in which the orographic shadowing effects dominates at least in the winter months. So in that area, of course, the clear sky radiation predicted by the model does not represent at all the maximum clear sky, the maximum radiation available. And also because probably with our interpolation, we extrapolated the linear trend of the clear sky index for height, which were among the height of the highest station. And so we probably have artifacts, we surely have artifacts for that reason. So in order to address this problem, we tried to separately mapping the diffuse and the direct component. But we didn't have any station in the region which measured the direct and diffuse radiation. So we asked for data from the OREC institution in Bolzano, which is not far from Trento, 50 kilometers more or less. This station is located at the airport in the Adige Valley, that is in the same valley as Trento, at a comparable altitude, and it has a completely comparable context in terms in morphological terms and also. So we test 13 different decomposition models against this data for the period 2011-2014. And we found that the best models were the DRINT model, the Skartveit et al. Model, and the DISC model, which were returned mean absolute error of around 27% for the diffuse component and 30% for the direct component. But they had quite considerable bias, so we finally decided to calibrate a model on the local data, and we choose to calibrate the Bolan-Ridley-Loré model, which returned almost comparable mean absolute error, but it is unbiased because we calibrated like that, of course. So we used this model, this local model, and we applied it to our stations in Trentino, in the Trentino region, and these are the results, the decomposition between global and diffuse irradiation. If we compare this result with the Heliomond dataset, which also provide, of course, the diffuse component, we see that on annual basis, the errors are not so bad. But again, there is strong variability, which very large errors if we look at the monthly resolution of the climatology. And in terms of this, in terms of diffuse component, and if we look at the diffuse fraction coefficient, which is independent on the fact that also global irradiation measurements are have differences with the Heliomond datasets, we found completely comparable errors. So we carried out the same procedures as before, this time not for the clear sky index, but for two different coefficients, one defined for the diffuse component and one for the direct component. We selected the same interpolation methods, but this time we needed to use a piecewise linear trend. And the Liebknecht cross-validation procedure indicated, again, bias error near almost negligible, but mean absolute error of the order of 6% for the diffuse and 11% for the direct. So these are the results, but there is not so much time left, so I will skip here. This is the final map for this new version. If we compare that with the Heliomond database, we see again that there are almost negligible errors over the flat areas, but strong underestimation in the most elevated areas. So if we select the areas which display absolute deviation from the Heliomond database for the two versions of the Solar Atlas, which are below the 5% limit, we see that with the second version, we are able to catch almost all the areas which are flat, or almost flat, and are the most densely populated. And in this sense, they are the most suitable for energy applications. Okay, so conclusions, very quickly. In Trentino and maybe in other mountainous regions, the solar distribution looks very different across different solar data sets, with differences in the order also of 20%. Also, the best available state-of-the-art satellite data, which is Heliomond in our case, may display not negligible biases and mean absolute errors. The atmospheric turbidity data that we analyzed and are quite different from the climatologies which are already available in the literature. And regarding the Trentino Solar Atlas, well, it was obviously not very suitable for energy applications at the highest altitudes, but for the most densely populated areas, we are confident that it may work well. And so future work, we want to try to use different mapping methods, and we will also try to compare or integrate with WRF model high-resolution simulations our data. We also want to see if the orographic downscaling of the satellite data may resolve the problem that we saw, and we would like to investigate more in depth the modeling of the diffuse and direct component radiation decomposition depending on the altitude of the terrain and on turbidity. So, thank you.
Okay, Okay, great talk. Questions, Chris?
Long talk.
I hope it's my last question of the day. No, I find it very interesting. I was wondering if the Heliomont database also includes orographic shadowing and that kind of thing.
Yes, it includes those factors, but of course with a 2 kilometer or maybe not 2 kilometers, but not 200 meters kilometer resolution. So it includes shadowing and for sure the reduction of the SkyB factor, if I'm not wrong. Mm-hmm. But okay, it was developed by Meteo Suisse, so probably, yeah, they know better. And I know that they are still working on this, so maybe in the future.
And about the clouds in your own database, do you use also any satellite information? Or
yes, I partially included the satellite information, but just in the... In the estimation of missing data, we performed monthly based regressions of the daily cumulated global irradiation. But this may be a future development. We really wanted to incorporate the satellite data into the interpolation, but the resolution is not, let's say, comparable with the topographic features of this region. So we have to find some way in which to downscale first the satellite data. So it's not probably useful. We may directly downscale satellite data, and that's all. Yeah.
May I have another question?
Sure. Okay. You're there.
I was impressed by your quality control. You mentioned different methods.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't know about yours, so
they are not mine. I just adapted. I just adapted some quality control which are found in the literature to the fact that we have a very complex orography. So we have many hours of the day, especially in the winter season, when we are just measuring diffuse component, and that's all. No, I just put it as last, but...
So what is your rate of rejection of the data?
Oh, it's very high.
And do you know why? Is it cleaning?
Okay, it is... So we have different kind of problems. We have a very dense network, which means that we will need, an army to to manage all those stations. So the ones that are located in the most remote locations, they are not well managed. So this is one point. The second one is that the stations which are located at higher altitudes, they have lots of problems in winter, but also in spring with snow. And, well, that data are not useful, of course. And then we have another problem, which is the fact that our network of radiometers is an agrometeorological network. So very often these instruments are placed close to trees or close to buildings, or it is very very difficult to keep under control such a dense network. And this network, moreover, there is another problem, which is the fact that these in reality are two different networks, completely independent, managed by two different institutions.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's thank all our speakers again.